Outside, Shumpert, three. Good! Shumpert puts in a triple. It's a one-point game. And the Warriors went by 20 earlier on. A nervous crowd to their feet. It's Durant with Shumpert defending, and Kevin Durant laces one through.
And he's hurt.
He is holding on to his right Achilles as Harden works into Iguodala, who just picked up the Golden State foul.
As soon as he made that shot, he started
limping.
Look
at this. Look at this.
Look, he looked back at it. He thought someone hit him in the Achilles.
They're saying it's a calf strain for Kevin Durant's MRI. We'll give you the update if it comes this morning. But more importantly for right now, the Rockets suffered a devastating loss by 5 points last night, 104-99. They were outscored by 5 points in the fourth quarter, not able to take advantage of the Durant injury. Mike D'Antoni still confident after last night's loss.
It is a do or die, but I feel good about it. I feel that we played well enough to win a couple games up here. We just didn't get it done. So keep the feeling, take care of business at home, and come back up and try to get it.
All right. We spent a lot of time on James Harden. We will spend a lot of time on James Harden. How much blame does Mike D'Antoni get for last night?
Well, what do you pin on him?
I had a real issue with the fact that at the end of the first quarter, for a couple minutes, he had a lineup out there with Chris Paul and no Eric Gordon. They had nobody on the floor who could score points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he was doing with that lineup in the first quarter. And you might be saying, Mike, who cares about the first quarter? Well, the first quarter is part of the reason why they were down by 15 and 20 points.
Third straight bad first quarter in Oakland.
Yes, an awful first quarter. Now, the Warriors, I did think, to be fair, were sensationally good in the first quarter. But there were some lineups last night in the first quarter where I had no idea what he was thinking. And then the biggest thing that fans will be talking about, which is the minutes distribution to Clint Capella during the game last night. I think Mike takes a hit for that for last night's game.
Right, I guess, and then the question becomes, all right, is it more Nene? Is it more Fareed? Is it Clark? Like, what's the solution? And is it going to change moving forward now that Durant's out? You know, Capella versus the starters in there with a whole lot less length on the floor. Does that keep Capella from losing track of Klay Thompson?
Hopefully.
Does it keep Looney from owning Clint Capella? Like, he's being owned by Looney. Looney is owning Clint Capella.
I keep defending.
This is not acceptable. I don't understand where does Capella, and it's not like this was an issue just now. Like, this has been an issue with Capella versus the Warriors, and Capella's the guy talking smack.
Yes.
That's what makes this so hard to handle, is that Capella's the one guy on the Rockets that chooses to go out and talk smack about the Warriors, and then he's a complete negative in this series. He is a drain on the Rockets in this series, and he's being owned by Looney. Looney!
I keep defending Capella, but I can't defend this.
Of course you can't.
If this series goes like this and they lose in 6 or 7, Clint Capella needs to go into hiding in the offseason. I'm not kidding. He needs to go into absolute hiding in the offseason.
Yeah,
hiding.
I don't know if I can blame... I can't blame D'Antoni for trying to make it work with one of your supposed three best players, where I guess... Other guys that you could have made a case for being the third best player in this series, PJ Tucker, Austin Rivers at times, and Eric Gordon, obviously. I thought you got much more inconsistency out of them than you expected than what you've gotten. Like, the Rockets role players, it's no secret, the Rockets role players have to be nails in this series because you just don't stack up on paper. So when those guys aren't nails, you're not going to win the game.
Well, I think the reality is this. I think it is this going forward, too. Your three best players are James Harden, PJ Tucker, and Eric Gordon.
You're right.
Clint Capella and Chris Paul are no longer a part of that conversation. In the words of two famous philosophers in 1973, they're gone, they're gone. Oh, I. We better learn how to face it. They're gone. Oh, I. We'd pay the devil to replace them, but you can't because of the salary cap. They're gone, and they're gone. Oh, why? What went wrong? Hall of Notes, 1973, guys.
Hey, by the way, I just have to bring this up since Mike has become newly fond of the plus-minus stat.
You
know, he had the highest plus-minus on the team.
Clint Capella. He did. He had the highest plus-minus, so at least they didn't get blown off on the floor with him.
2 years off to get a doctorate in math, and like my project is going to be... Like, how can the plus-minus stat be so weirdly wrong about stuff? It's so strange to me.
Well, at least we're not in Boston this morning as the Bucks eliminate the Celtics 116-90 in the East semifinals. Kyrie Irving likely finishing his Boston career with a 6-for-21 performance in Game 5.
Get out.
Where do you guys stand on Kyrie as an NBA star? Where is he in the pecking order right now?
The Knicks deserve him.
He's a more electrically athletic Rajon Rondo, I would say, because he has his championship.
He has his iconic moments.
He'll always be able to say, hey, look, no, it works. I've got a championship. And from this point out, he's just going to be slowly slithering into like crazier and crazier behavior to the degree where 5-6 years from now, I'm pretty sure he'll have a room full of his own urine and fingernails, and he'll be just like the conspiracy theories will be out of control.
I said
at that point he'll be saying that flat earthers are in denial because the earth is actually a cube.
I said this a year and a half ago. I'll reiterate this. There has been nobody who has ever played with LeBron James who was a more perfect fit than Kyrie Irving.
And he had to get his way out of
it. And everybody in his entourage should be ashamed and embarrassed. And I hope this audio gets back to them, even though it won't. They should be embarrassed by everything that's gone on in the last year and a half. What they did 3 years ago in games 5, 6, and 7 is one of the greatest Batman-Robin combinations I've ever seen in my life as a basketball fan. And for Kyrie to leave that team after everything that went down, horrible.
You know,
for like the world of basketball.
You know who who's advising him? Tyrion from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That's his
he's got bad advisors.
That's the guy. Is that his agent?
I don't know who his agent is, actually.
I think it's Tyrion.
So the Bucks move on.
Notoriously bad advisor.
And they're feeling very good in Milwaukee about everything going on between winning the series, between Kevin Durant going down last night. Again, MRI for Durant today. Next headline, on the bright side, my friends, the Astros shut down the Royals 9-0. Brad Peacock went back to the full windup, put together maybe his best start ever. He struck out 12 over 7 strong innings. So one night after McHugh was blasted, Brad Peacock is able to stabilize the pitching staff. Nicely done by Brad Peacock. I feel better.
Pitching out of the windup for the first time in a couple years. So Brent Strom working his magic once again. I thank you, Brad Peacock, because I was really looking like the fool with my extreme confidence in Peacock and McHugh headed into the season. Paul was going to waltz back in here this morning, back from his special project yesterday, and gloat and gloat and gloat if Peacock had had a bad game. So at least one of these guys, it can maybe be completely on track.
Look, he looked really good yesterday. The Royals stink. But I take away from this one, Michael Brantley, the guy's an MVP candidate. Second best batting average in the American League right now, .340. Two home runs yesterday, too.
You know what? I got a problem with this. Too many MVP candidates on this team, frankly. I'm tired of it.
Too many.
There's only one ball.
Got a bad taste in my mouth from last night in MVPs. Come on, guys. Play team baseball. Stop hogging the home runs so much.
Paul's right. He has been absolutely terrific, and with the two home runs again last night.
Pat McClellan?
Our guy.
He said last night that, I don't remember this, but he remembers when the Astros signed Brantley, that a bunch of people in Cleveland said that it was going to be a bad signing.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, the only thing I could really think of is maybe they think, hey, Brantley's going to get hurt. Because otherwise,
when he's been healthy, he's been great.
Yeah, when he's healthy, he's a very good, I know people say this a million times about him, but a very good professional hitter. All right. The theme of the show this morning, Mike, Seth, and Paul, how much blame goes on James Harden for the loss last night? We'll discuss at 7 o'clock. Time now for Move Seth's Needle.
I'm going to start off with this. This is a day of contrition for me. For one, I was wrong about to be so extremely confident in Colin McHugh, and we've gotten that out of the way. This is what I was most wrong about, and frankly, what I'm most ashamed about. Might be one of the most shameful things I've done in my life. Do you remember that 5 or 6 day stretch where I was kind of feeling like, you know what? Old Draymond was gone, and new improved Draymond was an okay dude. Like, I was like, I'm all right with Draymond, even because after he raked Harden's face initially, I felt like it was a genuinely innocent mistake.
Yes.
What a fraudulent take that was by me, because as we saw last night, Draymond is the same damn guy as ever. Maybe even worse because he's gotten slicker with it. So it can't even be his temper as much as like, this is just Draymond being Draymond. He got away with a head swipe of James Harden, whose eye is still bloodshot from when he got his eyes raked by Draymond earlier in the game. And then he got a technical in the fourth quarter as he drew an offensive foul from Chris Paul. Good job. But then couldn't help himself as he got up and he hip checked Chris Paul. Chris Paul did a good job accentuating it. But he's still like this stupid, dirty little stuff that he just can't help. And I even think I saw almost an attempt at a patented Draymond groin kick on one of his fadeaways. He almost went back to the groin kick, but he didn't connect because he's out of practice. I hate myself.
It's just a natural motion.
I hate myself. That's right. It's just a natural motion. It's just a natural motion.
That's what he said in the past.
You guys, I hate that you could, James Harden is kicking his legs out. Yeah. To draw contact, like, kind of.
That's what Harden should start doing.
Draymond's been kicking nargs for years and he's trying to do it again. Kevin Durant's been flailing all about with his 7-foot limbs for years. He's trying to draw fouls onto anyway. So I apologize to everybody. I apologize to Jesus, Muhammad, and any other holy figures for me ever sticking up for obviously Satan spawn Draymond Green. He does not deserve to walk this earth.
I hate Draymond Green, but then I'm watching the game last night and he made the key shot. The most important shot of the game was made by Draymond Green.
Yeah,
and that, unfortunately, is why he is a championship player. And it sucks, but they gotta change the narrative.
He's here to test your faith.
I know
about God. God heard that you went to church on Easter this year and you saw that, you were impressed. You felt the collective, the spiritual vibe. And now God's testing you. You have to realize that good things still happen.
Well, I thought
you know,
last
sometimes
night.
You wonder, like, God, why did you create cancer? You know, and, oh, there's a reason. I mean, the same thing. Like, God, why did you create Draymond Green?
I'm not going to give up. I was thinking about what I said with Seth a year and a half ago after the Astros lost those three games in New York in the ALCS. I'm not going to give up, but I'm not feeling good.
There were a lot of people last night, just as a random side note, that it felt like we're throwing in the towel with like 2.5 minutes left.
Yeah.
On this Rockets team. And I don't know what that is a reflection of, but it was noteworthy. I wanted to bring that up.
Well, yeah, everybody's got to. We'll get on to this by tomorrow, especially as everybody's got to get their daubers up and get ready for game 6 because it's a big one here in Toyota Center. Reggie Miller. I remember just 2 days ago, I'd been sticking up for Reggie Miller. I don't know what happened. Like, somebody slipped some Prozac into my drinking water or something. I was feeling okay about Reggie Miller, and I'd said, hey, you know what? I think he's been all right this series. I'm going to cut Reggie Miller a break. Man, he was in rare form last night. And I mean rare form.
Bringing down Kevin Harlan.
I know. Poor Kevin Harlan.
My guy.
For one, okay, so Kevin Durant fouls James Harden. And it was a foul that was called because he hit James Harden's arm as he was shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Miller goes on to a diatribe about how these landing zone fouls are just getting out of hand and they got to call it on both ends of the court. Very next possession, a Warriors shooter, was it Curry or was it Durant? On the very next possession, falls down without any contact at all from PJ Tucker. Zero contact at all. And Reggie Miller says, see, you got to call that. You got to call that. And I'm watching this game and I'm like, when you watch a game and Reggie Miller is commentating, it's so hard to figure out how he was a smart basketball player. You know what I mean?
And he was.
Like, and I know he was. He was a smart basketball player. And you could be forgiven for wondering whether the 3-point line existed when Reggie played. Because some of his commentary on it, I'll go back to a few years ago. Remember when verticality was the big thing?
Yes, Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, because with the Pacers and everything.
Yep.
That was the big thing, and everybody was talking about verticality all the time. That was the controversial call, was when big men were defending near the restricted zone, whether they were vertical or not. And Reggie just butchered that discussion every single time. Now that landing zones are a big deal, I have to listen to him butcher the landing zone discussion every single time. So I apologize to the universe, the people of Houston, and anybody else for ever saying that Reggie Miller was an okay commentator.
And as you pointed out, Seth, I don't think it was a landing zone foul. It was just that Durant hit
Harden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hit him in the arm.
Yeah. Reggie was acting
like, oh, this could have been called. This could have been called a foul like decades ago, but it wasn't. What are you talking about?
There was a stretch in the game where there's some calls and non-calls that really unfairly went against the Rockets. I'm not complaining about the officiating in general. It's just this is what happens in the NBA, you know, like it just does. And it was just weird because Reggie Miller chose that moment to start going on and on and on about how, well, they got to call this game both ways. And like, I think an impartial observer at that point in the game would have said, well, yeah, but the calls have gone for the Warriors at this moment. It just, it makes it so hard to watch sometimes. But I can't turn the sound off. I'm not going to be one of those people that lies and says, like, well, I actually just turned the sound. No, you don't. You listen.
Yeah.
You get angry.
Yes.
Last thing, since I know Paul likes to hear about my fad diets that I'm going on. This isn't a fad diet, but right. I am because I was listening to somebody talk about basketball players that fast during Ramadan, the Muslim holy month, which we are in right now. It changes every year. But, you know, you're not allowed to eat during when the sun is up. So you have to eat a meal before and you have to eat a meal at dinner. So I'm doing a secular Ramadan for as long as I can handle it. I had my big meal this morning, my suhoor, and then after dinner, I'll have my iftar. But I didn't know this. I didn't know this until this very morning. Or I knew this yesterday when I was listening to the guy talk about basketball players. I knew there was no food. I'm not allowed to have liquids after sunup.
How yes, did that work? Yes, I did not know that until yesterday.
Let's remember, yes. This was an idea that was come up in the desert. This is crazy. I'm impressed by this. I'm very impressed by this. Now, the other thing, too, it provides a perfect opportunity to concentrate on prayer and worship. Not having the luxuries of life on hand makes it easier to reflect on life and to be grateful for what we do have.
Well, that I can buy.
Water isn't a luxury. It's a necessity.
Muslims use this month to start afresh and give their life a new direction. So that's what I'll be doing. I'm not converting to Islam or anything, but that's what I'll be. I'll say this. The one thing that Islam has going for it, I think that I found, like, if the Christians want to catch up in this race, the five times, praying five times a day, that's a big deal. Like, I think if you can do anything for five times a day, you're inherently more committed to it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm trying to figure out. I'm not a religious person. I enjoy learning about religion. I actually enjoy going to church, but I'm not a religious. I'm not a religious person, but I'm not going to be one of those people that say, "But I'm a spiritual one." No, but I do. I am intrigued by this notion of doing something five times a day.
Until I read about Enos Kanter texting Hakeem Olajuwon about how to best get through the postseason by not eating or drinking, I didn't realize that they couldn't drink from sunup to sundown.
Yeah.
Somehow I had missed that in the last 20 years.
You're not allowed to have sex while the sun is up either.
All right.
That's not going to be as much also a challenge.
I also didn't know that.
Only because luckily like our schedules don't really, especially once school's out. You know, it's like, good point. Oh, no sex during the daylight. Yeah, the school's out.
I'm worried.